morning, everybody. Do I need to click something or you got it back there? Got it? Good. I have a confession to make. I, like Linwood, am frightened of Chuck E. Cheese. Father of four used to hate it every time we went to Chuck E. Cheese, and they finally grew up, and, you know, I got over it, and then here come two grandkids, and it's a recurring nightmare, back at Chuck E. Cheese again. So, anyway, thankful to be here again today. Thankful sincerely for all of you that have told you you've prayed for us as we get ready to deliver the message. We appreciate Wildwood as a church and this body. I love all of you. We are in Ephesians. We have talked about Ephesians for the last several weeks. And if you haven't been here before, if you've missed the last few weeks, in review, 1 through 3, we are talking about a rediscovery of our life in Christ, who we are in Christ, God's plan for His church, and true unity in His church. And as Joe presented to us last week, he talked about, as we have come into Christ, we are a new creation, a new creature. And the example he used was actually with Lisa in raising her butterflies, coming from the state of a cocoon into a caterpillar, and then having wings and turning into a beautiful butterfly. And I mean, he talked about the new life we're in, not realizing sometimes we still stay in that caterpillar, you know, mode, and God has given us wings. So we really need to rediscover our ability, our new life in Christ. And as I went back over Ephesians 4, I was stuck on verse 1, and I'll remind you of this. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith which you are called. And when we dig into that word walk, it is peripateo in Hebrew. And that's not talking about a literal step-by-step in front of each foot, but it's talking about a way to live, a way to regulate your life, and a way to conduct oneself. So I want to put a little commercial out here. We're still in the book of Ephesians. We study this every Wednesday night. And if you have an opportunity and you're not tied to a Bible study, we welcome you to come out Wednesday night where you can dig into this a little bit deeper. It's some really good stuff where we get to talk to each other a little bit more face-to-face and dig into the book of Ephesians. So as we continue, we're going to cover for you today the first half of Ephesians chapter 5. And next week, Phil's actually going to do the second half of Ephesians 5, so I want you to look forward to that. And as you go through the week, let's read this chapter so that we really can make this personal and understand what's happening. A synopsis of 5, 1 through 20 indicates that Paul is continuing his instructions on how Christians should live out their faith. And rather than us imitating the world or being controlled by worldly things, Christians are to walk in the way of a spirit-filled life. Okay, you got that? So if I was to give a title to this sermon and to help you remember what the first half of chapter 5 is, it's going to be Walk This Way. All right? Now, some of you are laughing because you think Aerosmith came up with this and Run DMC, but actually Paul gets the credits to this song. He wrote it a long time ago, so he foreknew all of this stuff was going to be happening. So we're going to dive into these verses, and literally we're going to go through these verses until we get to Ephesians, and we're going to recap everything. Ephesians 5, 1 through 3 says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." Would you agree with that? Continue. "Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Therefore, do not be partners with them. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, step by step, we're going to back up, and we're going to give you some examples of what this is talking about. Now, I set this thing up. I want y'all to understand. There's a line down the middle of the sanctuary, for those of you sitting on the side, but you can see some of it here. And I want to make sure everything is lining up, so I'm going to set this podium here as an example. And we're going to go to Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. And when I read this, what I got from it was that we should walk the line. Walk in the line. And you all have your bulletins. I don't want you to get stuck in it, but I've got some stuff. Everything I'm going over is back in your bulletin, so I want to make sure you take it home and read it. Don't throw it away or, you know, make paper airplanes out of it. Go through a lot of trouble writing these bulletins up every week for you and for your benefit to use and for share to somebody else. But walk in the line. Avoid sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, you have to realize Paul's writing this to the church. Sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. Any of you do any of that stuff? Y'all scared to talk. First service, some people said yes, and some people said no. I guarantee you, there are some incidents of some of this stuff with me and with some of you here in the church, because this is the reason that Paul wrote this to the church. There's a reason he's writing this stuff, because there has to be boundaries for us to follow, which is why we need to walk the line. If they did not put boundaries in here, we'd be all over the place. It says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." Now, this is not going to be a message that throws a lot of rules and regulations out at you. I want to make it kind of simple for you. If we look at a situation where we're going to walk the line, and even as my wife helped me lay this out yesterday, it was difficult to do, to kind of keep this thing straight. And if I'm going to walk it, it's kind of hard for me to do. But I put this here for a particular reason, because you might say, that stuff, Chris, that you're talking about up on that screen, I don't do any of that stuff. I'm a good Christian. I live a good life. Don't drink, don't smoke. I don't hang out with people that do that kind of stuff. But I tell you what you do, you sin. And this is talking about not those specific things that are listed, because some of us feel we're okay because we don't really do bad stuff, but we do sin. My wife and I have been reading Oswald Chambers' Utmost for His Highest, the newer version, and ran across this particular thing that I want to share with you. It says, "The nature of sin is not immorality and wrongdoing, but the nature of self-realization, which leads us to say, 'I am my own God.' This nature may exhibit itself in proper morality or in improper immorality, but it always has a common basis, my claim to my right to myself. When our Lord faced either people with all the forces of evil in them, or people who were clean living, moral and upright, he paid no attention to the moral degradation of one, nor any attention to the moral attainment of the other. He looked at something we do not see, namely the nature of man. Sin is something I am born with and cannot touch. Only God touches sin through redemption. It is through the cross of Christ that God redeemed the entire human race from the possibility of damnation through the heredity of sin. God nowhere holds a person responsible for having the heredity of sin and does not condemn anyone because of it. Condemnation comes when I realize that Jesus Christ came to deliver me from this sin, and yet I refuse to let him do so. I found that to be very deep. He came to free us from this sin, and we have to make a choice either to let him set us free or not to. That's our choice. He already offered it to us, and he made it available for us. Now, in this situation where we have to walk the line, I have to go back to these particular sins that were listed and some of the other sins that weren't listed. And I have to put something on you, because there is a situation as Christians, as children of God, very simply, we shouldn't be doing this stuff, right? We shouldn't be doing this stuff. Now, people get rules and regulations mixed up with religion. Because if you go out to the world and you say you're a religious person, that means I got to do this this way. I can't do this, 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 and this. And it becomes a list, and it becomes a situation where I am trapped because I have to do things a certain way. I'm not talking about religion here when it comes to right and wrong. I'm talking about a true change. My life has changed. I am walking under the rule of Christ. He has set me free. And because I have done something which is repented, my life is changing, and my nature is not that of some of that stuff that I've listed. Repentance allows me to walk the line. Because the word repentance means that I was starting out in one direction and I have changed my direction to straighten out. Okay? If I keep going in that direction after I say I gave my life to Christ, then there might not be any repentance. If you are continuing to practice living a sinful life, you might need to check yourself. I'm being very serious about this. And I want to say this and say this openly, because you may have gone to the water and you may have been baptized. But if there has been no repentance in your life, what happened was you went into this water, a dry sinner, and you came out a wet sinner. I don't want any, I'm going to be very clear about this. I don't want anybody to fool you into saying just because you jumped in a pool of water, everything is going to be right. We have a part in this ourselves, that if we truly repent, it, Christ has come into our life, we seal it with the baptism, and we are changed. It's a package deal, people. It's not any magical solution here. So you might have been baptized, okay, but if you're continuing to live a life in sin, you might need to check yourself. Now, do we sin? Yeah. Do I sin? Absolutely. Ask that lady over there. She'll give you a long list. But what happens is, because my life has changed, it is not my nature to do those things that I used to do. Because when I'm out of place, something should check me and say, you know what? You need to change. You need to. Repentance is a day-to-day thing, not a one-time thing. The Bible will tell me that I need to take up my cross daily. I need to die to myself daily. And it's not a situation that I do this by myself, people. You all help me. You all help me with this. Because if I am going into in a situation as a church, what the body does, Andre over here playing with his phone, But if I'm walking in the wrong direction, Andre needs to love me and know me enough to say, hey, Chris, get back in line, gently, with love, and push me back in the right direction. Not talk about me, not gossip about me and say, you know, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so fell off the wagon, and we need to pray. You know what that is? That's gossip. You go to that person, and you talk to them, and you love them gently and say, hey, brother, we all in this together. Come on, let's talk about it. Let's get ourselves back in order, okay? That's what we do at the church. That's how we walk the line, and that's how we help each other walk the line. Next thing, Ephesians 5, 7, 11, walking in the light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. I wanted to take you to John here because you all will agree with me. You think the world is dark? You think the world is dark?
Yes.
If you don't, you're blind already. And you know, that's a good point because people that are in the dark don't know they're in the dark until they see the light. Darkness isn't a thing. Darkness is actually the absence of light. I want to take you to John. I don't have it on the slides here, but John 3, 19, it says, this then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. I wanted to give you an example of this, and I'm going to sound booth. I already checked with the safety people. I don't want y'all to jump up and run out of here, but we're going to cut the lights off. So I don't want y'all walking around so y'all can fall over each other. But if you can start sound booth right now, I want you to dim the lights. Because I want to give you a real example of how this situation works and what the Bible is actually talking about in a situation where we live in darkness. So as we transition, remember, don't be startled. This is pre-planned. I talked to the red shirt, so. We can't get it completely dark in here, but I want you to see something. I got a tiny light. And if I shine it on myself, everybody is going to be drawn to where they see the light. As a Christian, when we go out into the darkness, this is how we should be represented. It's how each and every one of us should look. There's a problem if we blend in out there because that means that the light of Christ is not shining through us and not being reflected from us like this verse is saying. We people are the game changers. We are the ones, as the body says, the salt and light. And if there is darkness, if I shine this on somebody, I got you, Bob. The light exposes. And people don't like to be exposed by the light because it shines on their imperfections. And sometimes that's really a reason that people don't get along with us if we are letting our light shine, or a reason they don't care for the church because their imperfections are being highlighted. You can turn it back on again. Thank you. But you get my point? If we are not letting the light of Christ shine in us and walking in that light, we too are going to be in that darkness and we're going to stumble around. Now, just because we have given our life to Christ and we're saved and we're baptized does not mean that we let our light shine automatically. It is an initiative and a conscious effort for us to let the love of Christ and the Holy Spirit glow within us first, make us different, go out there into the darkness, and impact the world. And the problem with the church sometimes is this. We'll come here for these 1 or 2 hours of light and let all of our little light shine and have a good hallelujah time and say we had a good time at church and it was good and the music was good or whatever. And as soon as we walk out that door, our little light goes back off and we blend right into the world again. This is not what we should do, as Paul is saying. He wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to walk circumspectly, 12 through 14, it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. So you saw, when I illuminated myself, I became a light. People then were drawn to me. This is why it says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That last therefore part shouldn't be in there, so excuse me for that. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Walk circumspectly, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So if I am walking circumspectly, I am being careful, first of all, to know what the line is, where the light is, and to walk in that light and not veer to the right or to the left, not to be distracted by the world and the things that discourage me, not even to be distracted by each other, because you know, brothers and sisters, we can distract each other. We really beat each other up sometimes in the church. But situations in our life that Satan puts in there causes us to be off balance sometimes. But as long as we have our light shining on that line, we'll be able to walk circumspectly, walk carefully. That means don't go back out there running around doing foolish things, acting like the world, imitating the world. Because it says the days are evil. We have another version of this says we have to redeem the time. As I said, therefore, don't be foolish. But understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, my mother used to throw this verse at me because when I'd sneak out as a teenager and get with the boys and we'd have a little bit of Mad Dog or whatever the case may be and come back in the wrong time. Y'all don't know what Mad Dog is. But, you know, people beat you over the head with this verse because people drink. This is not a verse that I'm giving to you about drinking. It's not about that at all. It's about whatever is the distraction that takes you away from representing your life in Christ as it should. I told the first service, you know what I do when I come in from work? I get drunk with my couch and my remote control and my TV. And sometimes, if I don't catch myself, I will sit there for hours and just flipping channels. You know, I'm in that man, you know, that no-box zone. I'm just, you know. And my wife is like, can't you do something else? But we all have those particular things. We all have those particular items that throw us off. The stuff that we do that doesn't matter. Therefore, do not be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And if wine ain't your thing, whatever it is that so easily besets you can keep us from being able to follow these principles. But this is the most important thing I want to talk to you about. Walking in love. And I had to go back to start over again at the beginning of chapter 5 to talk to you all about this. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Walking in love out of all of these things that we need to walk in is, I think, the commandment that we break most often, especially as Christians. We are a very divided group as Christians. And the world looks at us and asks, if you all are unified, why do you have so many denominations? Why don't you go to that church or that church? Or even within this fellowship, I don't even look at the other denominations. Why is it that some of you will not speak to some others of you because there's been miscommunication or a bad word or a misunderstanding? Yes, I am aware, and it's happened to me, so I'm not pointing fingers. But if you wear this shoe, If the shoe fits, wear it. Is there somebody in this congregation or somebody, another member of the body of Christ that you won't talk to because they hurt your feelings a while back? Let me tell you something. It ain't about you. It ain't about you. There was the perfect example of walking in love. There was a king that came down from heaven that didn't have to do anything for us, but you know what? He made himself lower than the angels, and he gave up his throne in heaven, and he died on the cross. For us, the greatest example of love. And every sin that we committed in our life helped to put a nail in that cross for him. And we dare say, because somebody hurt our feelings in the church, we don't want to talk to them. And he gave up everything for us. Let me remind you, people, if we do not set the example of love, this is where it starts. This is how we're going to impact the world. If we cannot, first of all, love each other, and secondly, love the people of darkness and show them light, we're going to be a very impotent church. We got a lot of work to do, brothers and sisters. In that bulletin also, at the very bottom, I left two blank lines for you to fill out. I don't think there's anybody in here that's so good they don't have some stuff they can put in those lines. The first line asks you, what do you want to repent? What do you need to repent from? What do I need to do in my life to help me walk more circumspectly, to help my light shine, to help me avoid the distractions that bounce me back one way or the other? And the second line is, who do I need to make amends with? Who have I hurt? Who has hurt me? We will not grow as a people of Christ and set example of love as the people in darkness if we cannot first get this right. Y'all kind of quiet. Did you go to sleep or are you thinking? Is anybody with me on this?
Yes.
I'm about done, and I'm going to ask the band to come up. But I want you to remember the subject matter of this, because this is very serious, people. We got work to do. I love this church. I love all of you. I don't know all of you, but I do know you're a good group of people, and I wouldn't be anywhere else, because you help me stay in this line. And I want to be a part of helping you stay in this line, too. So just remember, walk this way. Walk the line. Remember those things, those real sins that are in our life that so easily beset us. Remember to walk in the light, because we have the power to control the switch, people. It says quench not the spirit, and sometimes we can flip it on when we need to, but you know, sometimes we can flip it off too. Remember to walk circumspectly. Don't be foolish. Don't just go out willy-nilly and think you're going to be okay, because I tell you what, if you stand too close to the edge, you can trip up very easily, and Satan is ready for the opportunity to trip you up. Most importantly, walk in love. I tell everybody this, the most important part of coming to church every Sunday is not so much of what you get fellowshipping and listening to each other. The most important part of coming to church every Sunday is what happens when you step outside that door. So don't sit here and talk about it was a good sermon, the music was good, I had a good time at church. Follow those examples and walk in love when you leave the building. I'm going to ask those that are on the prayer team to come up front. I'm so thankful. Earlier we had a baptism, we have more baptisms taking place. So people are giving their lives, they're making the commitment to repent and give their life to Christ. If you're in darkness and you've never made that commitment, now is the time. The water is always ready. We got a few people getting baptized. Y'all can get right in line behind them. I know that's not the majority of you, because the majority of us do know Jesus Christ, but if we have some things we need to repent with, if we got some stuff we need to get right, we got some people here ready, willing, and able to pray with you. So listen to the group as they sing, and we'll be done when they're finished.